This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of Ecclesiastes with I Commend Joy, Joined to the Living, Your Portion in Life, Wisdom Better Than Might, and A Little Folly. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
We made heaven and earth.
During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ on this day when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." It is as if he had said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him, and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. As our Lord on this day exemplified this love by washing his disciples' feet, so we, by our words and actions, serve one another in love. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from this one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us. Amen.
Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins, imploring God our Father, for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I,
a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and just deserve eternal eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and in the sake of the holy innocent of their sufferings and death,
God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. This epistle reading for Holy Thursday is from Hebrews chapter 10. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." This is the gospel of the Lord.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Picture this scene. It's the Day of Atonement, and the high priest has entered the holy place, standing there before the veil, ready to enter behind. He's prepared and ready. The fine linen tunic covering his body, with the blue robe over top of that, with the pomegranates and golden bells on the tassels, the magnificent ephod now upon top of that, rich colors with gold woven in between, all held together in place with a sash around the waist. On the shoulders, two onyx stones, each bearing six names of the 12 sons of Israel. And likewise on the breastplate, 12 precious stones representing each of those sons, brought in remembrance before the living God. Inside the breastplate, the Urim and Thummim, the judgments of God, close to the heart of the high priest. And finally, upon his head, the turban, with a gold base in which the words are inscribed, "Holy to the Lord." He's ready, time to go. But not quite. He dare not enter without one more thing, the blood. The blood of the bull by which atonement is made for him, and the blood of the goat, the atonement for the sins of the whole people of God. When Caiaphas conducted the Day of Atonement rituals just 6 months or so before he presided over the Jewish council's condemnation and sentencing of Jesus to death, little did that high priest realize that he was actually presiding over the last Day of Atonement that had any significance. Year after year, century after century, those descendants of Aaron, the first high priest, had faithfully gone behind the veil with the blood, entering into that earthly sanctuary where God's holiness dwelt. But no more. Because now we have a high priest who enters behind the veil, not with the blood of a bull or a goat or any other animal, but with his own precious blood. By Christ's flesh, we have access, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, to the heavenly sanctuary, not limited to space or time, but access to the very God himself. And when at the death of Jesus that curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, that ought to have been an ominous sign for Caiaphas. He should have read it as a big pink slip, because that most holy place would no longer be the most holy place. Instead, it is Jesus, the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. Only there is true holiness found. All of those rituals, all of those sacrifices of the church, now fulfilled in his own flesh. At the risk of sounding cavalier regarding this way of access to God through the death of Christ, we might ask, well, so what? Well, in our text, the writer to the Hebrews gives us three answers, cast in the form of invitations. The first one, let us come near with a true heart. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins. You've heard that before. No longer do we need to cower in fear or doubt. Yet that is precisely how Satan would have us live, in fear and in doubt that the flesh of Jesus really can avail before the Father. But no, for the Christian, we stand in full confidence precisely because the blood of Jesus covers all sin. We have been sprinkled with that blood, even as we will be given it shortly. We have been made clean through the clean water, our baptism, which in our lives is daily affecting one of clean consciences before God. Every time we hear the absolution, it is yet again another pronouncement that we have in fact gained access to the heavenly realms. And that absolution becomes a guarantee and promise of us that on the last day when we stand before the judgment throne, we will be covered by that blood of Christ. The author's second invitation: let us hold fast the confession of hope. Because we have access to God through the blood of Christ, our confidence is placed not in ourselves, but fully in Him, that we can make the good confession. And a good confession, the writer says, of hope for all that God has promised us, that will avail for us for all eternity: the full remission of sins, holiness before God, healing, rest with God, eternal salvation, an inheritance that is incorruptible. Or as we concluded the creed just moments ago, I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Yet a third invitation: let us consider one another in order to stir up or to provoke love and good works. This is the present time consequence of what it means to have access to the Father. It means that our relationship with one another is radically changed, certainly in the eyes of the world. Because, you know, we must remember that we are members of an eternal community, members of the body of Christ, that very body that entered through the veil, that body that was given into death on the cross, and who now gathers his flock to himself to be one body in him. And so the writer tells us we are to act that way, loving one another. That's what we heard in that confessional address when it stated, according to his commandment, we love one another as he has loved us. But do we sometimes pay lip service to those words? Of course, yes, Christians love one another. We know that. We give it the college try. But when push comes to shove, are we ready to love one another as Christ loved his church? Oh, yes, if people love us first, we'll love them. If they don't make too many demands on us, then we can love. But are we ready to confess, or are we comfortable with, an image of our Lord Jesus who was willing to debase himself, to kneel before his disciples and wash their feet, knowing as he did exactly what would happen that night as they would all leave him and flee? Are we ready to sacrifice our pride as we enter behind the veil? Because that we must do, knowing that we cannot bring pride before our Father in heaven, and have to therefore get rid of every shred of self-importance that we would hold on to precisely for the sake of the neighbor. Are we ready to love in that way? To encourage one another, even to encourage one another to be faithful recipients of all the gifts that our Lord gives, that meeting together, as the writer encourages us to do. Well, yes, the answer is yes. We are ready and will love one another even in that way, because our high priest offers us a better way through the veil, through his own blood. The flesh that he gives us to fortify is the blood by which he purifies and cleanses us from all sin. Don't take that access to the heavenly sanctuary for granted. For as we're reminded, the day is fast approaching, the day of judgment when our Lord will come. But with a clean conscience, we welcome that day and we pray for its rapid coming, even as we rejoice in the gift our Lord has given us. Using the words with which the writer concludes his epistle, words we actually heard just a few moments ago, we live in that continual hope and confidence. Now may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace.
we remember Sarah Nordling as she begins treatment for cancer. Having been sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb, let us approach God's throne of grace with a clean conscience, imploring Him to show mercy to all. Almighty God, through the sacrificial death of your Son, you atoned for the sins of the whole world, and in him you reconciled the world to yourself. Receive our humble thanks for this precious gift of salvation, by which you comfort and console our troubled hearts. Strengthen our faith that we may receive your forgiveness and be at peace. Keep us in Christ, the bread of life, and feed us with the heavenly manna throughout the days of our earthly sojourn, until we stand before you on the last day. As we are reconciled to you by the death of Christ, enable us to be reconciled to those with whom we are estranged. Let the spirit of reconciliation fill your people, that our lives and words may witness to your forgiving love. As Jesus prayed for his executioners, "Father, forgive them," so enable us to love and bless our enemies. Grant strength and peace, O Lord, in every time of need. Bless the treatments that Sarah now undergoes, that according to your good pleasure, her health may be restored. Guard and keep us all, so that temptation to sin may not come upon us. When we are tempted, grant us your strength and preservation, that we, trusting in your mercy, may overcome and be victorious in Christ. Clothe us with the full armor of God, that we may withstand the assaults of the wicked one.
All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant us, dear Father, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we might be rich in him, who with you and the Holy Spirit are one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you,
Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. All give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to will our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.